Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, unlike your ancestors who ate and still died. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we've been listening for several weeks to the Gospel of John on the Eucharist, right? The Eucharistic passages of the Old and New Testament, which is very on cue because we're also in the revival, right? The Eucharistic revival, at least in the U.S. Catholic Church, the bishops are focused on that. We've been doing it for 2 years, and any of you know anyone who went to the Eucharistic revival there in Indianapolis? I'm sure I won't get a show of hands, but anyhow, I was there. So I'll have to throw in something there. Beautiful, beautiful event. So let's focus on that. First with the first reading, a book of Proverbs, but focusing on wisdom, right? That personification of wisdom and what wisdom does. And it says, "She has built her house, set up her seven columns," right? "Dressed her meat," like set up a feast of bread and wine, right? And then invites the simple to come in. And anyone who's thirsting for understanding or lacks it, just come on in and feast off this wisdom that's set for you. And then challenges them, once you've done that, forsake foolishness, right? Turn away from foolishness now that you've gained the understanding that wisdom has to offer. As we know, as good Catholics, we are Bible believers, right? We wrote the book. And so one principle of Catholic interpretation of Scripture, where you can say, how do you understand Scripture? Well, one of the main rules is, whatever you read, see how it connects to Christ. Anything in the Old Testament, how does it project forward and understand Christ? And then what we're reading in the New Testament, how does it relate to Christ? So if we reread the first reading thinking about Christ, wisdom, if you switch him out for Christ, Christ has built his house, set up the seven columns, right? Set a feast for us, invited us in, right? All the simple to come. And then invites, "Come eat my food, drink the wine I have mixed, turn away from foolishness." If you read it in light of Christ, we understand immediately he's talking about his own life, certainly the truth he preached, but also the Eucharist, right? He has, you know, built the house with the house of the church by calling his followers and giving his truth. The seven pillars, right? The seven sacraments, those things that hold the house together, that give it structure, right? Where you can live. Through baptism, you come into the house, right? Through communion and the Eucharist, you're fed in the house. Through sacrament of marriage, there's children are added to the house, right? Through the sacrament of orders, there's priests that are given to lead the house, etc. Those seven pillars. The bread and wine obviously prefigure the Eucharist. It takes humility and simplicity, right? The children, those who are seeking understanding, willing to recognize they don't understand fully, coming to this feast of wisdom to understand the Eucharist. He prepares that table for us. It made me think also when you talk about wisdom and the simple, how we praise in our modern day, we all praise knowledge. You know, we're constantly trying to, you know, now when you don't understand something, you immediately go to Google and figure it out. If you've forgotten something and you're in a debate, well, let's just settle the debate. will look up on Wikipedia, this is what happened, this is who said it, this is the year it happened, whatever. How many people are in this country? Oh, there's 30 million. No, oh, there's 20. Well, let's just look it up, right? We're always looking for facts and understanding of those kind of things. We praise specific knowledge, you know, in medicine and in finance and other areas, people who are really specific sectors and they know a lot about it, etc. But wisdom, right? Understanding, not just superficially, but the depth of things, how things fit together, what's the truth of this, how to really understand it. Wisdom is what we, as Christians, as Catholics, strive for. Christ is called the wisdom of God, right? In the fullness of time, you almost get this sense of a God who's worked with us over centuries and realized, you know, now is in the fullness of time. Now they're ready for the fullness of my wisdom. Now I can really teach them the depth of what I want them to know. And he sends Christ, right? Not just that factual knowledge on the surface, not just the very technical, specific knowledge, but a deep understanding. That's what we desire, what we strive for, what we want. And that's what Christ and Eucharist gives us. I love this second reading for the same reasons, right? Watch carefully how you, not as foolish persons, but as wise. How does the, what's the symbol of wisdom? How someone lives, what they value, how they invest their time, what they want, right? What they choose. We see wise people that know how to choose things, how to spend, how to invest it, not to get distracted with secondary things, to waste time in frivolity, but really value things properly, right? And St. Paul encouraged, don't continue in ignorance, but try to understand what's the will of the Lord. What's God want here? That's the wise person. What's God doing here? When you're looking at the world, trying to understand what's going on, so many people say, oh, Father, these things are crazy now. What's going on? Like the question of understanding, what is going on in the world? The wise one understands it from God's perspective. What's God doing through all of this? Don't get drunk on wine, in which lies debauchery. And I asked him, well, what has he got against wine, right? It's the symbol of that which dulls what helps us reach understanding, our intellect, our will, right? Anything that robs our freedom and dulls our capacities as human beings made in the image and likeness of God, that's what limits our understanding, what ruins it. So stay away from those things. If you really want to be wise, stay away from anything that would dull. How many people who model that for us, who want to be experts in a field and say, no, I'm not, I don't have time for that because I'm really interested in this. Athletes or people who are pursuing intellectual pursuits or want to be really good in their field. You know, I know doctors say, you know what? I just don't spend my time on that. I don't play golf, too much time. I just do this, you know, 30 minutes a day of exercise. I don't have time for that. Like they focus, they're very focused, right? That's the wisdom. They put themselves dulled by those things, right? Go after what's really important, right? And then it's beautiful. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts. I thought, well, that's kind of, what's he, you know, we think of wisdom. People walking around just humming and singing, they're not usually the, but people who are able to enjoy, we're not caught up in the immediacy things and kind of in this angst, but have a happy, joyful demeanor, right? Singing, walking around happy. There's a sense of they're above the fray of the little things, right? There's a joy for the one who pursues wisdom, pursues understanding. That's one thing that I really noticed when I was at the Eucharistic Congress, how joyful it was. For those of you who don't know, there was the event a couple weeks ago there in Indianapolis where Catholics were invited to come to this Congress. 60,000 people came for 4 or 5 days. They rented out the Lucas Oil Stadium and the Convention Center right next door. In the morning, they had 4 or 5 different tracks, depending on what your interests were, 5 to 10,000 people in each. And then in the evenings, they had everyone come together at the stadium. So 50, 60,000 people, the whole football fields, those people were chairs, and then the lower bowl of the stadium, and some of the upper tier was also filled. So a lot of people. What struck me was, one, the median age, you know, like there was a lot of young, joyful, enthusiastic Catholics, just energetic. The other was this, the joy. A lot of singing, a lot of happiness, a lot of this enthusiasm about the truth, seeking wisdom, all rallied around the core of our faith, which is Christ in the Eucharist. Jesus said, if you eat my flesh, you have life in you. This was people with a lot of life, a lot of joy, a lot of hope, a lot of encouragement. So brothers and sisters, my invitation to you is pursue wisdom. Pursue the source of wisdom, which is the Word of God, the Word of the Father in Scripture, and Jesus Christ himself, the Word spoken by the Father. And both those things come together in the Eucharist, right? Just like in the Eucharist, we have the readings, and then that's the first half of the Mass, and then we shift to doing what Jesus said to do in his memory, the sacrament, which we commune, his body and his blood, Jesus and the Word. Pursue those things. That's where wisdom is had. I'll give you two or three just simple recommendations. One, come to the church. Come and spend time alone in front of Christ in the Eucharist. You want to pursue wisdom and be wise, not be caught up in the frivolity of things, but really go to their substance and things that last for eternity. Spend time in prayer with God, with Christ in front of the tabernacle. Never wasted time. Doesn't have to be here, whatever church you're passing. Stop in, slow down, listen to the Lord, and you will gain wisdom and happiness and peace. Secondly, read Scripture. Read Scripture. Spend time reading the Word of God. And if he's like, well, I won't understand it, there's plenty of resources. Just read it and ask, what's this saying to me about Christ? What's the Holy Spirit? Because there's power in the Word. He'll speak to you. Spend time in the Word. And then I think third thing I've always recommended is that daily examine of your conscience, looking back over your day, seeing where God was present, giving him thanks, saying you're sorry if there's anything you notice there of rebellion against God and his will, pursuing, as St. Paul says, the will of God will give you wisdom. Let's continue on in this Eucharist, brothers and sisters. Now, as we heed the words of Christ to eat his body and drink his blood in his real presence here in the sacrament, to receive that wisdom, prepare us for a joyful, song-filled week ahead. Amen.